All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Bites Gaming Plays, our yearly D&D one-shot. You're joining me here. I'm Joe. I'll be your DM. I'm joined by my good friends, Robert, playing Polo Marco.
Hello.
Joined by Dace, playing Tamp.
Ew.
Brad, playing the new Fiona.
Ooh.
And of course, by John, playing the ever charismatic Blaze.
Hello.
So, to be clear, Blaze gonna play this entire thing dressed as Leon? Is that going to happen?
I think it depends. He does have a disguise kit. He's got all the stuff. He's got it on at the moment. I don't know if they're going into the swamps now, but he might.
Yeah.
So who's he trying to fool since the people that are after him know he's not Leon?
Well, you know, the funny thing is you guys are now being taken to the place where Fiona was told to bring your group, but Fiona doesn't know that your group is your group. So we'll just see how it goes.
He doesn't know who killed her boss either.
The League doesn't necessarily know that Leon... The Blaze is not Leon, right?
And I'm sure they'll never find out in a plane of law and truth.
I'm sure they'll never... What a great point. I'm sure it's not going to come up. All right. Last time, we learned what has been happening with our crew since last year. It's been a year... Tamp has relapsed and has taken to the world of street preaching to a whole new level, to now he's basically tent preaching, very, you know, like evangelizing and then using all of his proceeds to buy more arcane.
Probably a big tent.
Yeah. Polo Marco, a shell of himself. You know, I love the idea of he's just like just holding on to Tamp this whole time. He's lost the drive, the lust for blood that had defined him for so long when he lost Leon. Maybe change his perspective on what's really important. And maybe today we can give him that zest for life back. I'm sorry, the zest for death.
I feel like
we'll see if his black soul doesn't come back.
Because <Yeah. laughs> someone would have definitely died by now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then Blaze has kind of assumed this role of Leon, having had made this deal, but is now running into some legal issues that now it seems like the jig is up. That Blaze has been able to claim a lot of stuff, but now you guys gotta actually get some lawyers involved and make this deal, this handshake deal that Leon and Blaze made last time, a real thing. And Fiona is there. Fiona, having been the student, one of the students of Dominic Fagi, who the group killed last time, she doesn't know that they're involved at all, but she has, she's, well, I guess you guys aren't the ones I'm actually looking for. It is mighty coincidental that you're a Minotaur, a Dragonborn, and a halfling assassin, and that you're here in the city that I was supposed to look for the guys. Probably coincidence. It's probably dozens of groups of three guys fitting that exact description just stumbling around the city. It's a big city, after all. So, you guys have been instructed that you need to go talk to the League, that this issue can actually only be resolved by the League of Lawyers itself, that you need to travel, you need to do some extra planar travel through the swamp that is at this kind of, the Legus Palace, which is this swamp that has some thin spots between it and the realms of Arcadia and Mechanus, where the League of Lawyers headquarters resides. So that's what you've been told to do. You need to go there. What are our characters thinking as we leave the law office and are being told you need to now go wade through a swamp?
Tamp is wondering how much arcane he's got. He's like, dang, this is going to take longer than I thought. I need to re-up.
I would say that you probably have... Let's give you two doses of arcane, Tamp.
That ain't going to do.
Who knows how long it'll be gone. That's how much you have right now. It's two doses.
Blazy.
So what about the rest of you? Where are we
Blazy
at?
Blazy is wondering how time works inside of a bag of holding. Do things rot at a regular rate or at a slower rate?
Ooh, that is right. You are, of course, referring to the body of Dominic Fergie, which has been inside Polo Marco's bag of holding, I assume, this entire time. Unless Polo wants to tell me he emptied it at some time.
Snitches get stitches!
All right, what about, and what about Fiona? What's Fiona thinking here?
She's just joyfully trotting along through the swamp.
Why is she so happy?
Doing her own thing.
Because she's a happy person, Jean.
Yeah, Jean.
I don't understand. This is unrelatable.
Can she not just be happy?
So you guys make it to the edge of the Palace Legis, which is a swamp, but you were told, and Fiona, again, you had traveled here. You had traveled to the League's headquarters at one point and then gotten here via this very same swamp. When you guys get to the edge, and keep in mind, Lake Forge, the city, this whole state is a very swampy place, very low-lying coastal area. I think I'd compared it last time. It's fantasy Louisiana, right? You know, and it has like a large port city here is what Lake Forge is. You guys get there to the edge, and Fiona, you know where to go. You find that out in the swamps, you find a small, not small, probably a pretty large rowboat. Rowboat that was probably the area where you had come out of and actually disembarked when you had come through. So it's kind of your show now of where you guys want to go and how you guys want to go about this. I'm eager to see how creative you get or don't get about this trip.
Well, Fiona will be like, well, here it is. This is the boat that I came in on.
So we just get on the boat and start rowing?
Yep.
No, I gotta find some biblical inspiration.
I'm gonna look in my bag of holding and see if I have any arcane in there.
That's a fantastic idea, Polo. Let's look in the bag for biblical inspiration.
What's arcane?
Oh, Jesus.
Who said anything about arcane? You shut your trap. You shut up.
Well, if we want to have a picnic, we could sit down and all eat some of this arcane you have.
No, it's
mine. You hear? It's mine.
I don't have any.
I don't think you would have any. Well, you... Okay, never mind. I'm not going to ask that. I was going to say, do you open the bag and empty it out right here? But we're not.
I do not dump that bag. No, I'm just looking in it myself.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, Tamp, you know you've got a few doses. You know that'll do you as long as you're not gone, like, a few days. You'll probably be fine as far as how you feel about it. Now, if you do want to go grab some more, we can roll some stuff real quick. If you just want to get a whole bunch for some reason, I don't know why you'd even need it. Like, why would he want that?
Why indeed? I'm gonna hand wave it only because I know that you're the type of DM that will roll with the punches.
Okay. Alright, so you guys load up in this boat. I want everyone to make me everyone take a look at your sheets. Everyone participate, everyone contribute something. Give me something that you think would be helpful in this situation. Fiona vaguely knows where the cave is. But, like, how do you think you guys are going to help her to get
Ooh,
there?
Athletics.
Ooh.
If it's, like, double oar type rowboat.
Oh, yeah.
Tamp will get on there, and it might take, like, he might microdose some arcane a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And just start.
He just takes just, like, a... Because he's a minotaur, so he's got this big cow head. I imagine he takes, like, just, like, a little bit just on the tips of two fingers and just sticks them up his big nostrils. His big cow nostrils, and just takes like a bump off of each.
Definitely. And he's good to go. He can row for days.
Yeah.
Okay, should I roll in athletics?
Yeah, roll me in athletics. Let's see what we got.
Oh, it's a nat one.
What a great start. So you bump a bit too much, and you actually full on break one of the oars. That, like, it just, like, you tear off. Like,
oh,
it breaks in half. And so then you just start rowing fiercely in a circle until one of these guys stops you.
Stop that.
Dang it. Let me try this. Can I... In other games, you can push a roll. Can I roll again?
But we don't have anything to pay in this game like we do.
We pay willpower
in the other one. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
What does Polo Marco bring to the table here now that you guys are in the middle of this waterway just being rowed in a circle by a coked out Tamp?
He's just hanging on the back of Tamp. Wide-eyed in fear for his life right now.
You and me, Polo, we're going places, brother. I'm gonna take you there.
I don't wanna go!
I'm gonna get you there.
I don't wanna go!
Yeah, so Tampa's now made your journey harder, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Fiona will see this and be like, so he broke one of the oars?
Yeah.
Oh, what are we gonna do? We're gonna need some more manpower. Let me see. And she takes out, like, a book, a big, thick, like, notebook that's entitled Ethical and Cool Neat Applications of Necromancy, Sure to Impress Friends. And she starts to cast Summon Undead. I'm sure there's, like, someone died in the bog somewhere. Right?
Yeah, it's like a peat bog, like a perfectly preserved body.
Yeah.
To, like, grip onto the back and do some paddling from the back.
And just, like...
Yeah, basically.
Hold on. Call forth. So you don't need... You don't actually need a... Like a body, necessarily, right? Like, this actually just summons up.
It could be a spirit. It says, could be a spirit or something protrude or skeletal in form.
Okay, you choose for me. Choose. It says, when you cast the spell, choose the creature's form. Ghostly, putrid, or skeletal.
Yeah, like a putrid, sunken,
putrid,
dead body.
Putrid.
Putrid. All right.
The skin's flappier.
Gross.
Okay. So you pull up, like, you stand atop the, you know, you stand at the edge, like, one of your small halfling legs up on the side, and you start doing this chant. This, like, the clouds close in, and it's dark, and there's, like, wailing out of the trees and stuff like that. And bubbling up, you see, like, a body of, like, somebody. It's, like, it looks to be, like, a man. Who's, like, claws up onto the side of the boat, and you see that he has a set of concrete blocks chained around his neck as the body pulls itself up.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, I think I took some bad shit.
Oh, kill me!
You belong to me now and my friends. Row.
Polo.
Row.
So do you like...
And I just want him to get, like, just have his hands, like, paddling, like, on one side where Tamp would be, like, have okay. the oar.
So on the other side, just constantly rowing, skin melting off his face, these two large cinder blocks just clacking against each other.
So, I don't know what a horrifying look would look like on a dragonborn's face, but I just imagine Blazy in the middle, like, trying to make himself as small as possible, just with a horrified look, like, not looking, just looking straight ahead.
Well, and it's like in this thing, it smells horrific, and, like, even as it comes out of the water, there's, like, obviously fish that are, like, eating bits of it, and, like, maybe, like, a crab, like, comes out of, like, a hole in its chest. And it's just now just like, will it ever end? Oh. As it's like,
They always talk like that, don't worry.
Okay, Tamp, you got something.
Tamp?
Well, I'm just, like, you said Tamp was going to say something about this situation.
Oh, no, it's all good.
Okay. So I think with the summoning of this entity, of this zombie, essentially, I think that you guys are now back at square one as far as it has undone what Tamp has done. So, that being said, Blaze gonna do?
Oh, like I said, Blaze is like curled up in the middle of the boat. I imagine it's a rowing boat, so you have to sit three to a bench or whatever. He's just
it's
trying
pretty
to make
big.
Himself
it's
small.
Like it's not, yeah, it's not just like a little boat. It's okay. Not a small boat. Like the Tamp doing the rowing the oars would have been really impressive had he not rolled a one.
Fine.
No, so it's a pretty large craft.
So, I think Blazy is kind of looking suspiciously at Fiona. It's like, why? It seems like you know the necromantic arts. And I'm curious for why Tamp is not, how you say, tamping down on these undead tendencies.
But he's mostly just speaking to himself, like, in the corner.
Just trying to be as...
That's a really good point.
Tamp, yeah, you have now seen this undead entity popping up. Now, here's the thing, is necromancy doesn't have to be bad, and he's reading, and Fiona's reading it from a book that says ethical
uses. This is
neat.
And neat tricks, yeah.
Neat and ethical is the name of the
book. Let me look up what my god believes in real quick.
Okay, so while Tamp tries to figure out his theology over here,
Blaze will probably
go ahead.
Polo's gonna ask Fiona, "Do you know the way?"
Fiona does, right?
Yeah.
A roundabout.
Yeah, pretty close.
Oh yeah, I came here not 47 moons ago, I believe. And if we go around this swampy tree, take a left at the mossy rock, we should be there.
Fiona, why?
Sounds good!
Why do you... why are you looking for these people that you're looking for? What was this mentor of yours? Why are you... We know about that tower, and there was some weird things that happened, but why are you involved?
Well, the Irrigan Academy sent me an owl on my birthday and told me I had magical powers and I could be come to the university and study, and no one in my village has ever had any magical powers, and I was going to go learn magic and come back and help my fellow peoples out on Hilltop.
So why do you hunt these people?
Because on my birthday, a magical owl came and
Jesus.
Told me I was...
So you guys are moving slowly, you know, as she is regaling you with, again, this idea of her backstory. You know, all the while, the smell of this thing is just, it's awful. I will tell you that as long as this thing is in within 5 feet of all of you, you all have the condition poisoned, which gives you disadvantage on most checks.
Well, it says they have to make a constitutional roll.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, yeah. Why doesn't everyone make me a constitution check real quick? Let's see if you are sickened.
Oh, nat 20.
Well, the thing is Tamp's nostrils are basically, like, destroyed at this point, so I don't know if he smells anything.
And
I got a 9.
You have to make over 15. My spell save DC is 15, so I guess we're going by that.
Yeah. What did you pass as well? Because Fiona needs to roll it as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
if it's my spell?
You're on the same boat. This entity, it says all creatures.
Okay. 18 plus.
Okay.
Yes, 18.
So Marco, Polo Marco is oddly enough the only one, I think, who is kind of sickened at the smell.
Are you a bit seasick?
No, but this dirty, dirty green bastard over here smells horrible.
Does he realize he's being hurt by this thing?
It just says, let me go back.
Just disadvantage, isn't it?
Yeah, it basically is just like, if next time you roll a skill check, you're going to need to roll at disadvantage. It makes it harder for you. Like, imagine being sick to your stomach and trying to do anything else besides be sick.
So. You would think out of all people, Polo Marco would be the most adapted to the smell of rotting corpses.
Yeah.
Some might say he would be advantage.
You know what? I think he digs around in that bag so often. I will give you a second roll to roll again. Let's see if you let's see what you do here.
You got a 15.
Alright, that passes.
On the dot.
On the dot. Nice. Alright, you guys are all keeping it together as you are rowing. It gets to the point, and keep in mind, imagine this very much bayou, right? Like, you guys are, there's a river, you know, and in the center of the river, you know, you can paddle in the water, but on the edges, it's like thick mud, you know, and then it's just like vines and, you know, and like thick, like those like cypress trees and stuff like that, like very, very swampy. Fiona, you guys get out into the middle of kind of like almost like a lake, like in the middle, far, far away from the roads as you guys are going, and you see far on the other side, you see a big cave mouth, and you know that this cave mouth is the area through which you came here to begin with, right? This is the thin spot between planes where the swamp of Arcadia, you know, of the plane of nature interacts or comes close to this, to the material plane, but also these swamps also coincide with law, with the plane of law in some way. So you see out in front of you, you see the cave mouth way, way on the other side of this lake.
You'll point it out to everybody and be like, that's the spot.
Okay.
Is there anything we need to be worried about?
No.
Nothing happened to you in that lake or that cave when you came through?
No.
Last time!
Come to think of it.
Last time!
What?
Last time she said something like that, it was a lie.
You lying to me, girl.
You do recall, Fiona, that when you came through the other way last time, the boatman you were with had thrown out chum into the water, had, like, thrown out meat into the water most of the way across the lake.
Well, now that I think of it, there was... My travel companions did throw out old rotten food into the water. I assumed it was just bad.
Old and rotten, you say? Like our friend here?
Yes, stinky.
Polo, you should maybe dump some of what you've got in that bag.
What?
You should maybe, I know you keep some extra heads for a rainy day. This seems like it might be a rainy day.
Put them in the water?
Yeah.
Too easy.
So, Polo just reaches in his bag and pulls out multiple heads and like little footballs, just tosses them into the water.
You know, and the thing is, the way the bag works, you put your hand in the bag, you think of what you want, and you find it. Like, it comes to your hand. So, Polo is just pulling out heads, like, by the hair of various states of decay, because they do decay inside the bag. How many do you think you pull out?
I'd say a good... around six.
Okay. All right. Of various
a conservative six.
You
this
pull
is
out
a trap, Robert. I hope you know that.
You start pulling them out and throwing them into the water. And as you do, it's at this point in time, you know, like who has the highest wisdom score of all of you. I know you're a super wise party.
I have 12.
11?
You got 12.
I got 10.
Yeah, it doesn't... I would say, Fiona, you notice at this point, you know, maybe you're looking out over the beaches and stuff, like the areas around. As she's throwing these heads in, you see large, long figures flop off into the water. They're camouflaged up against everything. And then maybe right as the last head goes in, Polo, like you, you hold it over the edge and drop it in. And right as you do, a huge set of jaws open up and almost just grab it right out of the air as a massive, massive crocodile, hump and takes it and then heads back under. You guys look, and Fiona, you now see that behind your boat, traveling behind your boat, you can see the backs and the swishing tails just under the water of probably about 4 or 5 huge crocodiles.
I don't want to fight that.
I don't either. Row faster, bone man.
You know, at one point in time... Actually, here, let me do this real quick. Roll dice. Rolling a dice. I'm going to roll hard dice too, actually. So that I can cheat. Okay, as he's going there, you see one of these tails come up and it attempts to grab this zombie that you have summoned, but it does manage to kind of fall back, you know, and like push the jaws away, but then immediately goes right back to rowing with its hands. Just,
nice.
Release me!
So
please.
Disciplined. So admirable.
She just starts whistling louder.
To drown it out.
Polo kind of goes up to him and whispers in his ear,
"Do you wish for the sweet release?"
anything! As it just continues to row, these crocodiles are getting now much closer, to the point now where it's like there's like two on each side and one traveling behind. You can hear the low rumble of them under the water as they're following you guys. You guys are almost there, you know, but you are still in some pretty deep water. What are you guys gonna do?
Polo. I'm gonna throw, I think Polo's gonna throw more heads.
More heads, yes.
Oh, you're actually out of heads. There's only one other thing in the bag.
One body left?
That could possibly go out.
We're gonna keep that in the bag. Under the hush hush.
No, Polo, we have to do it. We have to.
So it looks like these crocodiles are descending upon us, like they're going to get us.
You would say that they've almost assumed like a flying V about you guys.
Okay.
Should I do it?
Should I throw the body out?
Throw it far.
You're
and
like,
quick, okay, Polo's, Polo's gonna get Tamp's help. Polo's gonna ask for help from Tamp.
Tamp clocks this. He looks over at Fiona and like maybe even in his drug-addled brain, he's like, no, we need Fiona. We need Fiona on our side. And so he's going to take out one of his arcane charges.
Oh, no. He's just going to do the whole thing?
He's going to do the whole thing. He's going to jump out, hang on the back of the boat like an outboard motor, and start kicking. And he's gonna throw the oar at somebody and be like, "Rudder, steer!"
all right,
Blaze will pick that up and see. I guess try and help steer.
Okay, so if you're gonna do that, give me a dexterity roll. I do like dexterity. I don't like the way that you brought it up on your own, but I will take it. What's your dex?
Good news. I got a 5.
Are you talking? Oh, shit.
Okay. That's for steering.
Hey, Dace, can you roll me a D100? Let's roll a d10 yeah, twice.
Alright. That is a 0-0 on one and a 5-0 on the other. So that's a...
It's a 50.
Okay.
It's a 50. Okay. Tamp, the feeling of the arcane, it bubbles within you. You feel, as you feel it energize you, as you essentially go into like a barbarian rage, right? Give me an athletics. You can roll with intel. You can roll with advantage because you are effectively in a rage, in a drug-induced rage, which is going to give you advantage.
First one's a 20. Second one is lower.
Okay. Tamp, the whole boat, like the front of the boat, picks up a little bit as Tamp is like,
turns into a airboat,
right? Unfortunately, Blaze, you're able, like the boat kind of starts to go wild, though. Tamp, you attempt to instruct Blaze on what you do, but as you open your mouth, a bunch of pink bubbles come out, and you find yourself frothing and unable to actually speak at all. Just
crazy
Marco,
bastard.
Do you want to do anything in this situation to help?
All right, so is somebody steering at this point?
Well, Blaze is trying and he's failing.
I'm gonna go see if I can help Blaze.
All right, give me another roll. Give me like a dex type check, unless you can convince me to use something else. I mean, dex is going to be pretty good for Paulo Marco, but...
It's plus 8. I get lucky. Hey, I get lucky rerolls. I get reroll my ones.
Did you roll a true. 1?
He yeah. rolled a nat 1.
Oh, you are literally... You're a halfling. This is what halflings are for.
Yeah.
Good call.
Good call. I would not have thought 23.
That. 23.
All right, you
wow.
were
23,
able-
yeah.
Between these two, you guys are able to be, kind of get back on course. Tamp, these crocodiles are biting at your feet as you're just like, you know, there's like a big rooster tail of water going up behind the boat, you know, and Tamp's just, you know, as he's
pink
going.
Bubbles coming just, out of his
with mouth. Pink bubbles. Fiona, does Fiona want to do anything? Like things are looking pretty good, you know, but you know, you're not quite there yet. So, what do you want to do?
Let me think.
Throw your dead guy overboard. Throw him overboard.
I don't know exactly what else to do, to be honest. Give me some surrounding. Joe, throw me a bone.
You are coming into, like, you have straightened back out, but you're afraid that if you don't really thread the needle, that you're gonna get stuck in the mud, like at the mouth of this cave. So you like really need to make sure you like really dial it in.
Can I use Mage Hand to steer?
You know,
that's really interesting.
Mage Hand is limited in so many ways.
You can only carry, what is it, 5 pounds? But what if you stick a Mage Hand down in the water like a rudder?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Isn't
like
that
a big Mage Hand?
You know, I don't hate it. It is a cantrip, so I will roll me an Arcana roll. How about that? Roll me an Arcana. And let's see what you're able to do. Let's see how well
you're
able to do what you want to do with this.
Hold on, let me take a brief heals arcana that I'm proficient in. So what do I add if I'm proficient?
You add your proficiency bonus.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I got a 6.
Alright, you put the hand in. It is, or maybe like as you put it in, again it's like kind of like under Tamp or behind Tamp, and one of these alligators just, and the magic that kind of holds it together, it just dissipates. You guys pull into this, you guys pull up into the shallows and the shadow, murky mud of this cave. And the boat, you get like probably like 10 feet in, and the boat gets stuck in this just like thick, thick mud that's in here. You see that the crocodiles seem to now all almost be like circling in the deeper water at the mouth of the cave. Like they're all, you know, and maybe one of them kind of begins to ease up into the mud, but then thinks better of it and kind of, you know, you guys now are basically in the cave. And still, as you just hear the sounds of Tamp just breathing hard, you know, as he like pulls himself up, he's now covered in disgusting, filthy, stinky mud, like up to the chest, as he pulls himself back up to the boat. And it's quiet for a moment as you're all catching your breath, except for the...
Well,
it,
we,
oh, the zombie still is still trying to paddle. With his hands.
Vienna will like tap him with her like rod. Stop that. Well, we are we're here.
Yeah.
That went swimmingly well.
What was that? Was that some magic sugar you had?
Don't worry about it.
It's his go-go juice.
That's right, it's go-go juice.
All right, you now know, Fiona, that you need to basically wade through the mud to actually get to the thin place between the planes and actually make the crossing.
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Let's do perception.
Well, we're going to have to walk through all this mud unless someone has a good idea.
But you got like a... bail a water walk or something.
Is there anything between the cave mouth and us besides the mud?
Not really. And it's very dark in here as well. Like, you know, Fiona's kind of pointing into the cave. It goes quite deep. And Fiona, you know that eventually it will level out and be less muddy, like, you know, a little ways
right
in.
Let's just go.
This is like the just last obstacle to get to this entrance. Yeah. I'm looking around at my spells, but if y'all think of anything...
You got a dimension door?
No, I don't have any of those.
Polo's just gonna jump off in the mud.
You got a polybagger? Oh, shit, Polo, what the hell?
Polo, you jump off, and you're very light. You're small, but you're light, right? So you don't really sink that much. You essentially sink about up to your waist. And it's thick and smelly. And as you go, it's like you realize, like, this isn't, like... It's like, at first it looked like, oh, is this, like, smelly mud and leaves? But it's actually not leaves. Like, you realize that it's not leaves. It actually appears to be, like... And it looks like the further on in the cave you go, it's not leaves at all. It's actually wet, like, gross papers. Like, millions and millions of sheets of paper that are all
in this,
like,
that in this mud,
in this mud, that it's like, and actually as the further you go, it's not even like mud, it becomes almost like paper mache, like, because it's just wet papers.
This is,
they happen
like...
to be legal documents.
You pick one up and it looks like it's probably legal documents.
This is like a nightmare I had once of submitting my taxes.
Well, looks like we have to do this the old-fashioned way. She just hops on the shoulders of the zombie and, like, points
the old-fashioned
where she needs to go.
Like, this thing already has two cinder blocks around its neck, and your additional weight is just, like, almost more than it can bear. It's just like... Existence is pain! You know, as it, like, fades off.
I didn't know I got a cameo.
I don't know if any other way, guys. Really, I'm looking at my... Unless we can think of something.
I've got my way. I don't know about you guys.
I don't have anything clever, and I don't think I have any spells that can help us.
I think we just have to go through
the
mud.
I'm just walking. Yeah, I'm just going.
Okay.
I've got nothing.
Do this, though. As we're walking, I will... cast detect magic.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, as you...
No.
And so as you cast Detect Magic, you are... there is that kind of... You definitely get that... One thing that kind of interests you very quickly is, like, it's clear that these guys all have, like... Even, like, this powder that... that Tamp has is magic. You know, you kind of detect some of the magic elements that these guys have. You know, Pillow Marco has these, this bag of holding. Blaze has several kind of magic implements. The further you guys go, you feel that there is an element of, I think, you can feel that there is an aura coming from further down as you go into this, into the cave, and there is a point where you, like, maybe turn a little corner, and at this point all the mud is gone, and it's basically just papers now, but they're getting more and more dry as you go, to the point there's almost like mountains, like, you know, just like huge stacks of, like, not like papers sitting nicely stacked on each other, but just like crumpled up and all just like all over each other, just like, you know, like coming down from the walls almost.
I guess Detect Magic doesn't specifically tell me if it's dangerous magic.
No, you typically get, like, the school of magic. And maybe as you kind of get to an area where it's, like, you're finally out of the wet, there is, like, a small, like, a perpetual flame spell or something like that. This is obviously the way is marked, right?
Okay.
And this is the way you came before. And you know that if you go not much further, you're going to come to... That you're going to essentially make the shift from one plane to another, which is unnoticeable to most people, but this is where you kind of get into that thin area between planes.
Yes, Fiona will let everybody know that this is... So we got out of the mud and we're into this cave a little bit, and she'll be like, this is... We're about to make the crossing, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys walk a little further. And there is a moment where, and maybe even Tamp, maybe you with your divine sense, even if you're not using it, you know, right now, you do feel this kind of feeling of, like, your relative position to your divine power has suddenly shifted. Not gone away. It's not affected. Like, it's still available. But it's just, there is all of a sudden just this, like, whoosh. And it's like, it's hard to explain, but, like, you feel that you are in suddenly, like, a different place. It'd be like if your compass all of a sudden just turned a completely different direction. Like, you know, okay. Like, your holy compass to your god, to Lathander, to deity has shifted as you make this kind of theoretical crossing into the plane. And you see that all of the papers, the further you go, they're no longer these mishmash of papers laying all over. They begin to become very straight piles, and they begin to, like, maybe there's little labels on them where they're like categorized, stuff like that. And you guys very quickly come to a huge, huge set of stone doors that look to have been meticulously carved right into the walls of the cave itself. You know this to be the entrance to the League headquarters, Fiona.
Where to now?
There's nothing to fear here. We just go through these doors. We're all law-abiding citizens and pure of heart. And she pushes on open the doors.
Well, pure of what?
You know, go back. You open the doors and you see before you, you see this huge, huge entrance hall. It's similar maybe to almost the room, the administrative building you were in town, but this dwarfs it and seems to go on and on. You see people moving all over. Everything is flat gray. Everything is flat gray stone, no ornamentation whatsoever. Like, what is that? Oh God, what is the movie with the gun fu? Oh my God.
John Wick?
It's not gun very... Gun Fu. No, it's
John Wick.
No. It's God. It was a
Angelina Jolie.
Nope. Matrix knockoff is what it was. I cannot remember the name.
Like, Equilibrium.
Equilibrium. It was Equilibrium. Nice. If you've ever seen Equilibrium, everything's like that. Flat gray.
Oh, where they can.
Oh yeah. Right.
Everything's flat gray. You're like, and everyone's moving around. And Fiona, you are at the head of this group, and everyone is wearing these, like, again, like, flat gray robes, creatures of all different types. And you see several, like, floating above and around it all are different species of Modrons, which are those mechanical creatures that kind of rule over...
I remember them.
Yeah, which rule over the realms of law and, you know, in Mechanus. You are approached very quickly, Fiona, by someone carrying a clipboard. She says, you are the paralegal that the council sent out, is that right?
You'll like hop down from the zombie. Like,
oh, that's right.
You're
riding a zombie into this wood.
That's absolutely right. I'm here to help my fellow companions, and Lazy, I think, knows most about this case. He is the client. Why don't you tell him what your the whole court situation?
Oh, new clients. We love new clients here at the League.
Yes, me too. And he will go on a short diatribe of trying to explain everything and end with, and we got this notice where we didn't get any notices before this one. And apparently, as
weird.
Leon's...
It says it's the fifth one here at the top.
It's very strange. None before here.
Well, listen, the League is more than happy for you to come here, you know, and if one of our own, Mr. Smither had sent you here, then absolutely. If he says this is a council level job, I will say, Fiona, they're going to be very disappointed to hear that you have not been able to find the group that you were sent to find. They are going to be unhappy with you.
You like slump her shoulders. She's like, I know, but I'm trying really hard.
Unfortunately, the League, it cares about results, Fiona. So, unfortunately, I don't know what's in store for you, but I think we need to take this to the council.
Let out a sigh.
Gentlemen, come this way. We will take you straight into the council chambers. I don't think they have anything in the docket. And she takes you through hallways and hallways and hallways that are set out in a very regular order. It's like, you know, it's one massive central hallway, and then every 20 feet there is a new hallway that goes directly off of it. And everything is aligned. Everything is exactly, like, symmetrical. It's almost unnerving. In a way, it's almost, like, dizzying. Even though everything is so perfectly aligned, it's almost too perfect. Right, to the point where it's like it's discombobulating as you guys walk through. And there's no lights. There's just like this kind of sense of light in amongst everything, even though everything is gray. You guys are by far the most colorful things in this entire place, without a shadow of a doubt. She's like, okay, the council is right in here, and they would love to hear your tale and what you'd need them to do. They'd love to hear the case. They are very experienced. They represent the entire League. As she stands at these large doors, are you ready, gentlemen and lady?
Yes.
Yes.
Fiona will just slap Polo Marco on the back and give him a hearty thumbs up.
Polo looks at her with disdain in his eyes.
You guys. All right, let's go before something bad happens.
You guys open the door and you see before you, I'm going to drop this in just to give you guys a reference here for kind of the vibe of what's going on here. You guys see before you, like, you come into this room, it's dark, and the only bit of color you have seen in your entire time here are these huge gold set of balances, of scales behind this group of three people who are sitting up on these high chairs glaring down at you. The person who brought you in here, you know, introduces, as you know, as a, you know, the paralegal Fiona Finlock has returned, unfortunately, dear counsel, without the charges that you had late made her responsible for, but with actually a set of new clients who were referred to us from Lake Forge. They are here with a complicated case that they need the council's assistance with. The council needs its attention. And you look up and you see under their heavy robes, you see the faces of an orc, an elf, and a human who are glaring down to you. You hear, this person, this like helper, you know, person like bows out and basically leaves the room, closes the doors behind you, and it's just completely quiet as all three of them are just glaring down at you.
Well,
cowers behind everyone and like lets them go forward.
Blaze will kind of start. Yeah, I guess I will start. There was a very complicated kind of 50-50% agreement between me and my partner.
The orc holds up his hand. Light two, he says, I am Torth the Wise. We are very aware of the complexities of the case. Complexities beyond mortal kin. As he does his arms up wide.
Thunder.
Thunder goes off.
All of this for a 50-50% agreement.
The mortal wrath.
And the female elf in the middle says, ease yourself, Torth. I am Drevuel the Discerning, and I can tell you that this case is certainly rises to the level of the council itself. Is that not right, Stephen the Just? And you see the man is sitting there, and he has a white knuckle grip on his arms of his chair. And he's like, yes, this is most certainly a concerning case, and we are responsible to represent our clients always in their best interest to the best of our ability. As he like grits his teeth and forces it out.
Stephen.
Do we recognize that voice?
You have seen him speak once before at the gala. This is Stephen Glomdroth II.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Blazy has, the equivalent of dragonborn sweat.
Of the Stephen that we enslaved and killed?
Yes, and Fiona, you're actually relieved to hear this voice. This is the person who you work for. He's right here.
She pokes behind Blaze and just, like, it was like a little wave and then goes back behind him.
He, they're sitting here very stoic, but one of his hands goes up to his temple and begins to rub one of his temples and then goes back down. He's like, we should hear this case before we move on to more pressing matters.
Temple lean over to Polo and he'd be like, you know, whispering, how much gold do you think's in them scales? How much you think that's worth?
Ooh, yeah. Enough for all you need.
I could do a lot of good with all that gold.
A lot of preaching.
What do you think, Polo? Should we take that them there scales?
I'm game. Let's take those scales.
The orc responds, we can hear you. We hear all in the hall of truth. Thunder again.
Dun, 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 dun.
Never mind.
So we're not going to take the gold out of the scales?
No, we're going to take it, but they don't need it. No, we're not going to take the gold.
Jean has frozen. Do we still have Jean in audio?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I think he might be frozen.
He might be frozen. Might be all the way frozen. We might lose Jean shortly. But he is with us in spirit, at least.
That's unfortunate, because he is the one that's about to spearhead the conversation.
He'll be back on.
50-50.
We have lost him temporarily. You guys are looking up. And again, you guys, you know, and as you look up, Tamp, Polo, I know you guys are a bunch of miscreants. You guys recognize this guy, too. Like, this is definitely the guy you saw speaking at the gala.
Lamtrot. So what was he... But did he know who they were? Does he know who... Does Polo Marco, yeah, and Ram Tam know that what he knows, I guess is what I'm saying. What do they think he knows about his son?
So he wouldn't...
Go ahead. Oh, just like full-on crashed?
John crashed. Yeah, he's got to restart everything.
Oh, man.
He wouldn't know that we had anything to do with the death of his son, right?
I think he was pretty much aware of your involvement in the death of his son.
Even at the gala?
Yes, even at the gala, he just never saw you there. You guys were able to avoid the Glomdrots, knowing that you had killed their son.
Because this was 2 years ago, right? His son was basically our lawyer, or Leon, when Leon was part of the group, to get them out of this dismal prison. They had to go to into this underground cavern, but someone convinced that
Blaze. It was Blaze that
Blaze convinced
right?
Steven to come along with us, and we basically used him as a meat shield.
Yeah, and he died.
Yes, we did.
He's in totality, he was crushed under a giant, fleshy, expanding monster. When you guys did
Rip.
There was that whole scene where you guys were in that vault, and there was the Aladdin thing where you weren't allowed to take anything, and then I believe Leon tried to take something. Or no, it might have been Polo Marco. One of you tried to take something, and then Steven was killed. Because of it. So Steven Glomdrot the second is sitting up there looking down at you guys, and he is seething. And at this point in time, the one sitting in the middle, this female elf, she turns her head slightly. You know, their heads are underneath these dark hoods. She's like, Steven, what is it that troubles you so here before the council? And he's like, nothing, Lady Drevuel. Nothing at all. We have a responsibility, after all, to our clients. And again, he's gritting his teeth as he says his clients, meaning you guys.
Mr. the Just, is there a document we can quickly sign to get that all that sweet, sweet non-disclosure and client-attorney privilege, please?
And again, it's I was telling them, John, you know this guy. you know who this is. And it's pretty clear he knows who you are.
Yeah, he just wants to sign a document as soon as possible to get him signed on. To get attorney-client privilege and protections.
You hear, he's like, you are already considered clients of the League at this time. You ungrateful son of a... And it's like, and the orc is like... It's like, Steven, mind your mouth. These are our clients, after all.
Very rude. Very rude.
And the one in the middle, she says, gentlemen, we see the issue here. The issue here is that we must verify that this... We must provide you with the legal backing that this agreement occurred, but we cannot do it because... The former proprietor of these properties is long dead, and his soul is, and we have already taken the steps to see if we could find his soul. Isn't that, I believe Stephen the Just had attempted to locate his soul. Isn't that right, Stephen? He's like, yes, I went way out of my way to try to pluck his soul out of the afterlife.
And did you?
To no avail.
Did you not find him?
No. And the orcs, he says, I, Torth the Wise, know what we shall do, Thunder. and the other two turn to him, he says, we will make a pact. As your attorneys, the council shall make a pact with well-known night hags that roam the great waste of Hades and will locate Leon's soul. Once we locate his soul and bring the wretched larva here, we will be able to verify that you have made this deal once we extract the information from the writhing, miserable remnants of his soul.
Jesus, Blazius.
Tant pauses for Thunder. All right. Now, I got a better idea. We do have his next of kin here.
excuse me?
Gestures at Polo.
Hey! That was my papa!
That was his papa.
The elf says, she's like, unfortunately, there was no attorney, well, there's no power of attorney signed that I'm aware of, so unfortunately we're not going to be able to. Anyway, we're not going to be able to respect that.
Don't listen to them, Polo. Don't you listen to them.
Unfortunately, and the elf leans forward and she steeples her finger. She says, do not think that I am not aware of what you and your group has done to the League. You have robbed us of a young and upstanding lawyer full of potential. And it is a great job that Fiona has brought you here. Fantastic work, Fiona.
You have to be, excuse me, mistaken, miss. I mean, we've traveled so far. We came through swamps. We fought. We went away from alligators. I mean, I've been with them for like 5 hours.
ran away.
They're good people, I promise you.
No, they are not. She just leans back in her chair. No way. Like, they, not
but
these ones.
Mr. Blazy, he stood in a circle of truth. He told the truth.
Yes.
Young Miss Finlock, there is the technical truth, and then there is the whole truth. Now, you three.
But I just, and by I'd like to just.
And he, like, rubs his temples. Like, I would just like to clarify that
this entire adventure through the hags to pluck Leon's soul is because you cannot verify a business deal that I made with him, and there's no other way. Is that correct?
The orc raises his hands. Yes! Thunder!
This feels...
Do not question the methods of the League. Here near the heart of law itself.
I'm getting a headache from this thunder. Okay.
Not everyone is cut out for law.
Okay, so Blaze is trying to, like, get us on to the next step as opposed to confronting Fiona and the truth.
Drevuel leans forward. We will do this for you as our clients. We will do this to illustrate the League's immense power and representation of true law throughout the realms. But you must make the League whole as well. You must pay the League back for what you have done. A soul for a soul, as it would be.
What are they talking about?
We have no idea, I'm sure.
Who's assuming hypothetically that we did take a soul from the League? Whose soul might we replace it with?
The human. He, again, his fingers white knuckle. He's like, the soul of my son, you son of a bitch!
If y'all can get the other guy so easy and his soul, why don't you just go get your son's soul back?
He kind of leans back. He's like, my son's soul, Stephen the Third's soul, is in a place difficult for us to penetrate. Difficult for us to recall him to from. The...
Hell!
No, actually, we absolutely can get to hell.
Ain't that where lawyers go when they die?
That's where Leon's soul is. See, Leon's soul is most likely in Hades.
Oh, no!
No, my son is in a... Son's soul is... Unfortunately... And the elf puts a hand on his. He's like, it's okay, Stephen. I know it's hard to hear. Harder to say. Stephen Glomdrot, the Third Soul, has unfortunately risen to Celestia.
What is Celestia?
Didn't see that coming.
It's heaven.
That's...
His soul has gone to
ridiculous.
Heaven.
Why?
Because for whatever reason, he appeared to be, and she kind of like, you see, she kind of like retches a little bit. She's like, pure of heart.
So Tamp like brightens up a little bit. He's like,
well, shit. Why don't we just break into heaven and get his soul back for you?
Exactly what we want you to do. We know approximately where Stephen's soul is. You need to travel to Celestia. You need to travel to the City of Virtue and retrieve him. Convince him to come with you, and his soul will be reunited with its rightful place here at the League.
Well, I'm sure this could be very easy for me to convince him yet again.
We would go
for
ourselves.
What? Yet again for
to
what?
To come with us, of course.
You think it's true about them pearly gates? How many pearls do you think they got on them gates?
I bet they're golden, too!
Different pantheon.
Probably some gold.
Not the same. We have arranged for some particular charms. Unfortunately, none of us in the council or the league can... How do I say this? And Torth speaks up. Survive the aura of Celestia. Says yes, yes. Fortunately, none of us can survive the aura of Celestia, but apparently you and your group have done a great deal of good in Lakeforge and may be able to not be immediately rendered down into your base components upon entering heaven.
When do we start?
We have a portal arranged and ready to go at this time. As unfortunate as it is, even this location actually does have doorways to Celestia, though we have to keep our distance.
Steven.
Are you gonna give us anything to help?
We will give you two things. One, a compass. A compass, a soul compass, which will bring you to Steven. It will help you to find him. Second, we are going to enchant the three of you with the charms necessary to protect you from the intensely good aura of Celestia.
Which three?
I'm gonna ignore that.
But it seems like a good question because there are four of us.
The three of you need it the worst.
I feel...
I need it!
Rock, paper, scissors.
Stephen Glomdrot speaks up. He's like, Fiona.
She like comes forward and like goes down on one knee.
Fiona, Steven. As my paralegal, Steven. you will accompany these three and ensure that they are able to find and return the soul of Stephen Glomdrot III. No matter what happens to them, your mission is to ensure that Steven's soul returns. Have I made myself very clear?
I will most certainly do this for you. And not only that, I will prove that these three are pure of heart by witnessing their good deeds in Celestia.
You say that and you see Stephen Glomdart, you see him kind of like kind of gag a little. He's like, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Blazy.
Be cautious.
Blazy has
go ahead,
one
please.
Final request, please.
I will let you know that I am not interested.
Steven, would you like to join us on our journey?
And I would like to roll a persuade.
Expression on Joe's face right now.
Oh, master stroke, John.
So I will say that when you convince Stephen Glomdrot III to come with you, you cast suggestion.
Can I? I don't want to do the same gag, no, but...
You hold no power here, it's sorcerer.
Or just a question.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to look up something real quick about... Because here's the thing. You guys are currently in a different plane, and different planes actually have different effects on things, including even some spells have different, like, operate differently. There definitely is something that goes on in Celestia. Let's see. What is your alignment?
I am
actually.
I'm chaotic, evil. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. You attempt to cast your spell, and nothing happens.
Not even a wild surge?
Nothing. Especially not a wild surge.
Yeah, that's chaotic.
It seems that in this place, the very core of your power is rendered ineffectual.
Very surprising.
I will read you the bullet point. Chaos-based spells simply fail.
Okay, I guess that makes sense in a...
All right, well, let's go to heaven.
Let's go to heaven!
Can we get that special protection, please? I'm sure we won't need it, but just in case.
You will get it on the way out!
I wanna kill!
Oh, you fixed him. He's feeling better.
You guys are taken through several hallways along the way. We'll say Tamp, an attendant, hands you a large silver compass. But the needle is like spinning, like it's not in one place. And he's like, when you arrive in the same plane as the soul in question, it will point the way. Right now, we're technically an infinite distance away, but as soon as you cross over in Celestia, it will mark you. It will mark it for you.
Come on, Tamp.
Hefts the silver compass, and he's like, raises his eyebrows at Polo.
Funny!
You said the quiet part out loud, Polo.
Don't say the quiet part out loud. Yeah, you definitely think this is probably worth... This is worth some money. Yeah. Okay.
Soul compass.
And then, go ahead and add soul compass to your inventory there. As you get to the end of a long, long hallway... And you see at some point in time, you see like a sign with a simple arrow that just reads Celestia. And you see that there are fewer and fewer people down this way. And there gets to a point where there's actually like a dotted line, like a caution line, like do not cross, like drawn on the floor. And you see in front of you, you see an archway that's beautiful and just like spilling out like silver gold light. There's like a almost like a chime of harps. You know, it's like ringing and beautiful. And even all three of you, or all four of you, look upon it and feel... Well, actually, Blaze probably feels sick to his stomach looking upon it. But Tamp, you feel a connection to this place. Polo Marco, I'm not going to begin to think about what Polo Marco's feels being alignment is.
Just like... crickets in his head.
But Fiona, even you look at it and it's like you see, you know, it's beautiful, and it's beautiful and calming almost. And as you guys get to this line, there's a group of these workers, and they come out and they're wearing like respirators and like containment suits almost, and they start casting spells on three of you for sure. I don't know, what is Fiona's alignment?
I think she's probably kind of like lawful neutral.
Okay. Alright. Yeah, they cast some on you as well. You know, but they don't seem to need quite as much as you. And they are like, okay, well, you know, the last thing, like, as you're going, it's like, remember your mission. Find the lost soul of that lawyer and bring it home. Bring it away from wretched heaven back to the understanding and cold clutches of the League.
Okay.
Keanu, like, is like, yes, sir, and, like, salutes.
All right. You guys are covered in these protective spells, and you move into the bright, beautiful gate that is the gate from this particular corner of Mechanus to Celestia. And that is where we are going to stop for this one.
I love this. This is... This is perfect for this party.
Wait,
we're gonna deduct a soul from heaven.
We're stopping the whole campaign here, or just this episode?
No. We're gonna take a break and then come back and finish it.
We're gonna kill angels. Kill angels. Oh my god.
I don't think we can if Joe's playing Buh.
You watch Marco.
I would highly advise against.
This could be
angels.
A TPK.
Taking angels out.
I like how this is consequences of decisions made literally 3 years back to take a random NPC with us on the trip.
Some might say it's the consequences of one person's decisions made.
To say that you guys in totality are responsible for this. It could have been anybody.
It could have happened to anyone.
All right. Well, listen, if you're watching us live, stay tuned. We're going to be back. We're going to take another quick break. And then I think we'll probably finish it up this next time as you guys enter the most unlikely place, I think, for this party to go, which is Celestia.
100%.
The seven layers of heaven. you guys are about to head there. So, thank you so much for watching. You're listening later. Appreciate it again. I do want to give another repeat quick shout out to Elriel, Tyler, and Dustin for joining us over on Patreon. Thank you. You keep us going.
Thank you.
We will be back here momentarily. I'm just going to use the same buzz phrase. Brad and I tried to come up with one at the end of last time and we couldn't do it. So stay safe and stay sane, guys. We'll be back. Bye.